Hey, folks, and welcome to this week's podcast. I have been trying to get this guest on the show for years, and he has a new release out, and so this was a good time to try to get him on the program, and we did. Now, this is one of the more unusual interviews I've ever done, and partly because there was a lot I wanted to ask this guy, but as I was preparing and talking to the folks that helped set this up, it became obvious to me that I wasn't going to have a lot of time, and he was going to really want to talk about his new stuff. So that's exactly what happened, which is fine. That's fair enough. But you can hear me trying to deftly cram in as much as I could that wasn't about the new single, which you'll hear after the interview's over. And he sort of a few times keeps switching the conversation back, and then he kind of ends it abruptly. I sort of feel like I got more time, perhaps, than I was allotted, so can't really complain. And it was just very unusual. You know, I was trying to sort of find ways to connect the questions I had with what we were talking about, and you can kind of hear me maybe thinking on my feet a little bit loudly. Anyways, you know, I love the Beach Boys, and I could have spent 2 hours talking to Al Jardine because, you know, he was a witness. He was the kind of neutral party to so much of what went on, and one of the least, drug users, one of the soberest Beach Boys, I think. So probably has a lot to, he probably witnessed so much and remembers so much. So anyways, I hope you enjoy this. Hope you're doing well, and this is me and Al Jardine of the wonderful Beach Boys, and his website's aljardine.com. Check it out for information about his new single, Waves of Love 2.0, and his upcoming re-release of his solo album.
I'm not even aware of the publicist, Kim, but anyway.
No, Tim, okay. I'm sorry.
Tim?
Yeah, Tim.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, what's up? What are you up to?
Right now, I'm very excited to talk to you. I've talked to so many folks in the Beach Boys camp, and, you know, to me, the most important American band ever, and the history is so long, and I know you have some new projects, and I want to talk to you about those, but is that sort of the idea that the band is so important and that the catalog is so huge and so creative, is that something that you carry with you every day? Is that just part of your identity, or do you just take that for granted?
Well, obviously we carry it with us. I mean, it's part of our legacy, you know. I mean, we're professional that way. You know, we're of course, we are kind of a creation of a homespun band that got very lucky and had a wonderful chemistry, which, you know, you don't always, well, I guess you just have it or you don't. And we got lucky and had a wonderful songwriting team, because the songs are really the essence of all of it when you think about it. And we were just at the right place, the right time, with the right folks. Good timing. It helps to have really good timing.
As the song says, yeah.
Yeah, really helps, you know, because there are a lot of really talented folks out there every day trying to accomplish what we did, which is pretty remarkable. I won't say impossible, but remarkable.
Yeah.
And I was even stupid enough to quit the band for a while so that I could get my college degree. You know, and I say stupid enough because I didn't realize that Brian would continue to write such great songs, and I had promised my folks I'd get an education. You know, so those two things. But then sometimes we get a second chance in this life, you know, and a third, maybe if you're really lucky.
It's true. The band has had so many ups and downs and so many different lives. And, you know, I was kind of thinking of what is Al Jardine's part in all of this. And you, because the Beach Boys is a family, literally and figuratively.
Right, right.
But for 60 years, you know, you're you're within 10 feet of these guys for, you know, 250 days a year.
And you're right.
You've always been the guy who kind of is friendly with everybody. Is that just natural to your personality, or is that a lot of work for you, or is that a, do you pay a psychic cost for being in that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. 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 All of above. Yeah, there's just, it's been an up and definitely topsy-turvy world, but at the baseline is the music, and as long as you're all on board with the music and can deliver that end of it, it's really wonderful. The difficult part is the business end of it, and that's where we all of us. Our bands, everyone who's ever been in the music business understands that. You know, you're subject to the constraints. Really, it's a constraint of the business side of the music business. There's even a book called This Business of Music, which I should have read through and through, probably had been smart. I know Bruce Johnson. Has read it, so he's up on the latest stuff, but because Bruce came in later to replace Brian when he got sick, sick of touring, I should say, so he's kind of more in the music. He knows the music business pretty well, but it is all about business after the music is done. Because then you have to manage the business of music. So that's the hard part.
Yeah, I can especially imagine because the group, especially the original five or six guys, though every one of those guys has a bigger-than-life personality and creative juices flowing, and to try to always agree on everything must take its toll. You talked about the chemistry and the luck and the ups and downs, and I agree. But one of the reasons I think this band is more than luck is that you've taken advantage every time there's been a down, like when you mentioned Brian stepping off the road, but then his creativity in the studio increased. And when Brian kind of took a back seat completely, you and Carl and everyone else, even Dennis, started producing and stuff. And I love that period, that kind of Friends, Wild, Honey, Smiley, Smiley, 2020 Sunflower period. When
right, yeah, that's coming out again. You know, we're re-releasing that stuff in July.
The band was so, I mean, everybody was so creative. You were, as a songwriter, blossoming. Is that, because I look at that as one of my favorite Beach Boys periods. Is that the same for you?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it was an opportunity for us to step up and be counted. And I think we did a really great job. And it took a while for people to catch on. And this new release coming out in this August, not July, I'm sorry. I believe it's, no, it's July. July 23rd, I believe, is the release date for Feel Flows. It's a combination of all those post-capital years, a combination, I should say, a distillation of 1969 through 1971. Mm. There's a lot of really interesting and some unreleased, some unfinished, well, mostly finished, but it's a window into those years, of those very creative post-capital years, yeah.
Do you listen when, because there's, all the Pet Sounds outtakes have come out on box sets and The Smile and lots of great outtakes. Do you actually sit and listen to all of them?
No, not necessarily, although I did on this one. Actually, I did. Yeah, I was very, very critical of making sure everything was right that belonged, that got on there in the right way. And yeah, I was active. Yeah.
There's on the Pet Sounds box set, there's a portion where you can hear Brian and you're trying to sing, I don't know if it's Hang On To Your Ego at that point or if the song had changed, but, and Brian is just putting you through, hundreds of takes, and to me, they all sound 100%, like your vocals on that are so, so good, and I'm wondering if that was typical of how the level of perfection Brian was always going for.
Yeah, that was typical. I don't really remember which one you're talking about, but that's pretty typical.
Hang on to your ego.
We had to change the lyrics. So there was two versions, so that was a challenge. But hey, you know what? We got to get back to why we're talking here. There's an exciting new release called Waves of Love.
Yeah, you know, it's such a poppy song. Tell me about writing it, because there's so many parts in the song, and it's like the hooks just sort of keep coming.
We have two versions of this song because my co-writer and producer, who lives in New York area, in your area of the world, wanted to try a different approach. And so we call this Waves of Love 0.2. Waves of Love original 0.1, we'll call it, is on my Postcard from California album, which is coming out in July. So we got two to choose from. This one, Larry was so excited about it, he wanted to stream it. He wanted to get out and stream it for the Valentine's holiday. And so it's been out there for a while, and it's charming, and it's a lot like it has many moods, as you pointed out, has many, many to it, which I really like. Mm. I think he did a wonderful job. His production is wonderful. So you can compare them and see which one, you know, your audiences can compare them and see which one they like. I kind of like to know myself, do a little, you know, a little comparative thing with the crowd, you know, and see which one is. You know, I think the East Coast version has one feel, you know, it's a little more laid back and moody. The other one's more of a Beach Boy rock and roll kind of approach, which is on the Postcard album.
Yeah, well, we've played it, and it's gotten a great reaction. To me, it has a lot of the classic Beach Boys elements in it, and it sounds modern without sort of sounding like you're trying too hard to, you know, to sound modern. And your voice is still great. Is your voice great from practice or care, or is it just you just are lucky that you still sing so great?
I guess I'm just lucky. I can't really, I don't do anything particularly, you know, other than, you know, I don't tour as much as a lot of people do. I'm not, Brian and I only tour occasionally, really. And, you know, I think we just were lucky with the talent we were born with. And I'd like to say there was some magic to it, but great songwriting helps.
Yeah.
I know that, and I'm really excited to have something out that's new, you know, and fresh. And I think Larry did a good job producing it.
Yeah, he did a great job. Tell me about the reissue of Postcard from California, which is your solo album, has all kind of special guests on it. That's coming very soon.
Yeah, July 23rd of this year. I'm sorry, that was the Phil Flo thing. September 3rd, my birthday.
Oh, September 3rd.
Yeah.
And what will the bonus tracks be on it? What's on it that wasn't on it previous release?
There are two bonus tracks. One is the Waves of Love that I just told you about.
Right.
And it's been remixed. It's remixed, I think it's my favorite version so far of the West Coast version. Larry's version is entirely different, the one you're hearing now. But this one will be available to listen to on my birthday this year, and it's my favorite. So, Sorry, Larry, but I just have to, I'm going to have to make a confession here on live on the air. But the dits are pretty good on Larry's version too, because Larry's perfected the Beach Boy background parts, and which are called dits. Mm-hmm. You know, like the old R&B. R&B songs that we used to listen to when we were growing up. Well, we perfected that, and now Larry is joined. Larry's graduated summa cum laude. Is it summa cum laude? Yeah. As a dit singer. Yeah, he's doing all those parts.
I really enjoyed the 2011 reunion tour. Did you enjoy it, and do you think there'll be one coming up for the 60th anniversary of the band?
I don't know. I've been asked that before. I think it's possible. We'll do a couple of major events for sure, just to let people know we're still alive. And I think there'll be at least a dozen or so, in the United States for sure. Then we'll figure it out, and some overseas too.
Okay, great. That something you're very much looking forward to? Because like you said, the songs are so good, and that band you guys have together, you know, Brian's band is so amazing. I mean, it's kind of...
Yeah, the Brian band. And of course, if we can all agree on which band to use, we'll have a Beach Boy reunion. That's the key there, you know, is getting the right, you know, all the players that we all enjoy so much working with over the years. We must have a couple of hundred that we can choose from. So it's kind of difficult knowing who, you know, we have to draw straws to decide who's going to be in the band. But, it's going to be great. It starts later this year, you know, October is our 60th when we recorded Surfing, back in the Hawthorne days. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. And, I've got my own little trio. I was going to ask you if... I have a question. There's a place called Joe's Club in New York. It just opened up downtown, and I've got my little trio. I'd like to bring them to Joe's Club.
Joe's Pub down in the Public Theater. Oh, that's a great
pub. That's it, not club. Pub.
That's an awesome venue. You would love it. You would just love it. You want to move in?
Is that in the theater district? You say
it's downtown. No, it's part of the Public Theater, which is this big, beautiful old theater down, kind of in the Greenwich Village area.
Oh, yeah, I love the Greenwich Village area.
Oh, you're an old folk singer. You must...
I am, yeah. I the Kingston Trio took my awareness down there, and Bob Dylan. I met Bob down there a long time ago he and I always struggle to remember where the hell it was we met. But it was it goes downstairs. There's a downstairs. It's a famous where all the folk singers got their break. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Do you remember the name of that venue? The Bitter End, called the Bitter End.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what it was. We I just saw him up here in Monterey. He did a show up here in Monterey a couple of years ago, and we were reminiscing. So I'm an old folkie, and I'd like to do a folk album. Actually, I think I'm gonna my next album will be a tribute to those days down at the Village.
Oh, your voice is still so great. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking of, like we were talking before about how Brian would make these huge studio things, and then your five-piece Beach Boys would have to figure out how to transfer that to a live thing. But sometimes, I was thinking of like the live version of Heroes and Villains that you sing on the 1973 album. That's my favorite version of that song. It's so...
Oh, thank you. You know, we've done so darn much stuff. We've pretty much forgotten more stuff than, I mean, stuff that most people have ever even dreamt of recording. But that was an opportunity. Carl produced that album, as I recall, and we had floor to ceiling 24 track tapes surrounding Carl in the studio. Mm. He was just surrounded by boxes and boxes of tape. Today that would be on one little digital. Thing, you know,
sure.
It's just hard to believe that, but anyway, yeah, those are great days. Those 70s Warner Brothers tapes were really, they were really great. Performances were really great. We had a great band then.
Yeah, I agree. That live band is kind of on fire. There's like a little juice going on. And again, you're singing, you're carrying a lot of the load singing because Brian wasn't out there singing.
Exactly. Yeah. That Heroes and Villains. It's one of my favorite all-time Beach Boys songs because, I don't know, we started singing the background parts way back in the 60s just for warm-ups, you know. We'd just kind of sing in the car when we were going to a show or something, a performance. We'd just sit around pretending to be something we were not. We were, like, just dreaming of it, you know. We were, like, singing these parts, and each one of us would take a part like an instrument, you know. We'd all become, I'd be a clarinet, Mike would be a bassoon or something, you know, Brian would be a, you know, whatever, a flute or something. And we'd have these wonderful practice things going. And that turned into kind of the Heroes and Villains arrangements.
Oh, that's fast. It's sort of like the Mills Brothers. It's fascinating.
Yeah. We had a, definitely had a, an advantage with shall I say, arranging vocal parts, because Brian was a genius at figuring out the stuff that we did it in the very beginning with respect to the four freshmen. He would pick out all the parts, and we'd rehearse doing some of the most complicated harmonies that you can imagine. So, but he knew them all note for note, and we all just chimed in like a bunch of choir boys, and it was really it was fun.
That's what makes the Beach Boys so unique, because there's other great rock bands and great surf bands, but nobody has that blend. And even now, when you and Brian sing together, you can hear the Beach Boys just in that. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it is truly amazing when I think about it. But anyway, let's not forget about those Waves of Love, if we can. At least play it once or twice. I'd appreciate it. Because that's got a lot of good Beach Boy background parts in it.
Tell me about writing. I mean, Waves of Love, or, you're a co-writer on Friends and Be Here in the Morning and Wake the World and When a Man Needs a Woman and lots of great Beach Boy songs. What is the writing process like for you?
Well, it really helps to have someone to write with. I don't like writing alone. So I'll have an idea. I'll have a chorus, and somebody else might have a melody, and then someone can tack a melody on, a verse on, and to help the chorus along. That happened a lot on my Postcard album. I had a couple of co-writers on that album. I was able to finish my songs a lot. It's easy to start a song, but as Brian is often quoted, finish your songs. If anybody ever asks him about how to write a song, he doesn't tell them how to start. He just says, he'll tell you to finish it. But I can, most of us can start something. It's all about finishing, isn't it?
Mm.
That's really what it boils down to.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
When
Carl passed away, Mike sort of took the band in a different direction, and you started your own band, and then you and Brian got together, and for the past few years, like you said, you guys have been a great team on the road, and I get the feeling that having you there really makes Brian feel relaxed, but sometimes, from the audience perspective, hard to know what Brian's thinking.
Of course. Well, he's Brian's an enigma.
Yeah.
Wrapped in, no, what is it? A conundrum wrapped in an enigma, whatever the word. you know that what I'm trying to say.
A conundrum
wrapped in a, no, that doesn't sound right for some reason. Something wrapped in enigma, and enigma. I can't even speak. But that's Brian Wilson. He's just lives in a different world, and sometimes he comes out to interact with us, with his public, and he enjoys it. And when I'm there, it does help. It absolutely does help a lot to be there, because otherwise, because we bring out certain things in each other, and we're able to, we goof around the piano before the shows every rehearsal every day. We'll bring up something we haven't done in years, and kind of like a little ditty from the Holland album or something. We'll throw it out there, and pretty soon we're singing the song from the Holland album. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you've known him since high school, I believe, in college a little bit. It's more so your relationship is longer than 60 years, and he's still an enigma to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, his brain is probably 90% musical. And ours is it goes the other way. We're probably 10% to his 90%. So you can't expect him to be, conversant on many other. He's just hugely, hugely talented, obviously.
Yeah. That's so a genius
way to
way
describe
of
it. Yeah, it's called being a genius. I mean, I enjoy other things. I'm fortunate because I can enjoy other things like having a wonderful farm to live on and feeding my chickens and horses, and he loved to be able to do that, but he always asked me about it too. He says, "You still up there? You still have chickens?" Yeah. We start talking about the dumbest things.
I want to remind folks that Al Jardine is our guest, and his new release, Waves of Love 2.0, is just out, and Postcards from California, his solo album, is going to be re-released any minute now on his birthday, which is kind of exciting.
Any minute. It'll feel like a minute. Well, it'll feel like maybe just depending on who you are, but before we know it, it'll be September 3rd.
It sure will be. You mentioned that Heroes and Villains is a favorite. Do you have another song or two that you think are underrated Beach Boys favorites of yours?
Kiss Me Baby.
Hmm.
I love that one. To me, that's one of the best. That and Heroes and Villains.
That's so interesting. And do you, when you, like, if you drive to the supermarket, do you say, I'm going to put on Sunflower today? Do you ever listen to the band just for pleasure?
No. I don't even have anything to play anything on anymore other than the Sirius radio. I listen to Sirius all the time. I go through all those channels.
Wow.
And everyone, yesterday I heard 409. And I thought, my God, how did we do it? I mean, it seemed so big at the time, but after you play it now, it sounds kind of almost like, I don't know, just, I picked out all the parts, and I thought, geez, we could have done that better.
Oh, really? That blows my mind.
Oh, yeah. I know, me too. All right, well, I'm going to have to run now. I'm sending waves of love to all of you guys out there, guys and gals, okay?
Thanks very much, Al. It's been a pleasure. Been fun.
All right, man. Take care.
Buddy clap.
I'm fit with the stuff to ride in the rough, and sunny down snuff I'm all right by the hero's end.
And I turn.